We have two videos that we're going to show you this morning. The first video is just for fun. It's a funny, cute video. You're going to love it. And then after, I'll give a real brief introduction to the second video. All right, why don't we go ahead and show the video.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're gonna have, Mary, you're gonna have a baby. You're gonna have a baby and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not gonna have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager and I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast. They tried to go to a hotel and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel were singing.
Glorious. And then the shepherds said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. Then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Isn't that adorable? How many of you remember seeing that before? Yeah, we showed that before some years ago, but it was just so funny. I thought it would be great to show it again. Now, this next video is just really a part of the message. It's a paraphrase, a reading of the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke. And so keep that in mind, and then we're going to get right into the message. You can go ahead and play the video.
On the same night, under the same starry sky, not too far away, there were shepherds taking care of their flock during the night watch. It was an ordinary night as the animals quietly grazed. But soon, this ordinary night was interrupted by glory. Something caught their attention. Suddenly, the shepherds realized they were no longer alone in this field that night. An angel stood before them. The shepherds were terrified, but the angel comforted them, saying, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Tonight a Savior has been born in Bethlehem. He is the Messiah, and he was born for you. The angel told the shepherds exactly where to find this baby boy, this gift of hope come to earth. He would be wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough in a nearby stable in the city of David. In the blink of an eye, the glorious multitude of the heavenly host appeared, surrounding those humble shepherds in glory. With their voices, they lifted up an angelic song of praise to God. And in that breathtaking moment, the heavens boldly proclaimed the glory of the one who not only knew the stars by name, but knew the names of those humble shepherds in the field. This quiet night turned into the most glorious of nights, and the shepherds hurried off to find the baby boy. They found him lying in a feeding trough, exactly as the angel had said. The shepherds couldn't keep this good news inside. They told everyone they met about the angel, the heavenly host, the young couple, and the precious Christ child. And all who heard it were amazed, just as we continue to be amazed as we remember this night, this moment, when hope was made known to us.
And Father, we thank you for the kindness that you've shown us in sending your son, Jesus. And Lord, we honor you, we worship you, we adore you. We thank you for how faithful you are. Lord, we can look back at our history and we can see how merciful and faithful you've been in so many different situations. And God, it blesses our hearts to be able to come on this day, on Christmas Day, together as a church to honor you and to celebrate you. And to be reminded of not only why you came to seek and save the lost, but why you also called us to be a part of the family, to be those that continue to share the message of Christmas. We pray, God, that at this time you would give us ears to hear and a heart to obey. And it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I titled this message, Will You Become a Christmas Shepherd? Now, God is looking for shepherds to continue to share the message of Christmas for him. We understand that it is a message of joy, a message that brings great joy to every heart that receives the message. It's a message that brings peace, and it's a message that gives salvation to all people who put their trust in the Savior. Now, most of us, if not all of us, have already heard and believed the message of Christmas. But God is looking for more of us to become Christmas shepherds. Now, of course, I don't mean that God wants us to be literal shepherds, but he does want us to become shepherds in the sense of what the shepherds did on that Christmas day. And there was three things that these shepherds did. The first is they saw. The second is they told. And then the third is they worshiped. They saw, they told, and they worshiped. Now, we're going to be considering these things in just a few minutes and consider how it applies to us. But for now, I want us to consider their personal encounter. That is the shepherd's personal encounter with the divine messenger, or the messenger that came from the divine. In verse 8 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, it says, Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock. And then it tells us, And behold, verse 9, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. See, these shepherds, they first experienced a personal encounter. God sent his messenger, and through the messenger, they encountered the message of Christmas. They encountered the message that God had, as he said in centuries past, fulfilled his word, his promises to humanity by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. But God was faithful to his promises, and these shepherds were one of the first to encounter this experience with the messenger that came from the divine. And one thing that is faithful, or that is true about our faithful God, is God always reaches out to those that he loves. He is so faithful to reach out to lost men. And it tells us that God reached out to them. And these shepherds, it's interesting to know, and I note that these were the uneducated of their society, the untrained, the unskilled in their society. They were, as it's been described, they were rough characters, often smelly, probably most unlikely people of the day to be invited to gatherings, to social gatherings. Shepherds, they weren't trusted in Jesus's day. They weren't allowed to testify in court, even if they were eyewitnesses. And as far as the list of sinners go, the shepherds would be at the top of the list of sinners. And yet God loved them. God loved them. And it's fascinating how God reached them. He reached other people as well. He reached the Magi. These were elite individuals, I guess you could say, well-to-do, wealthy, because God reaches everyone. From the elite all the way to the lowest, God reaches all men because he loves all men. And God is always faithful to reach those he loves. God is also faithful to comfort those that he loves. He reached the shepherds, and then they were afraid. And through the messenger, he sent the message to them. In verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Notice how the angel didn't first point out all of their sins, didn't point out their social status, didn't embarrass them, didn't humiliate them, didn't bring up their past, didn't bring up anything like that. The first thing he does is he comforts them. He says, listen, don't be afraid. And that's always the message from heaven. Don't be afraid. And there's something about our nature that we fear God. But God wants us to know that we can trust him. Certainly to have a reverential awe and fear of him in that sense, but not to fear him where we can't turn to him. But God was so faithful to comfort them. Hey, don't be afraid. And didn't bring up any of their issues. No, on the contrary, God says, listen, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news. Good news, and it's intended to bring great joy, which is for all people. God comforts those he loves. God also, he directs those that he loves. He said, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So they have this encounter with the divine messenger because God wanted to reach them. God comforts them, and then God directs them. He directs them right to where the child is because he had another purpose. Not only did he want them to receive the benefits and the blessings of this encounter with God through putting their trust in the Holy Child of Christmas. But he, in addition, wanted to use them to share the message. And so he directed them. But first he directed them to the babe. And before anyone can become a Christmas shepherd, you must first find the babe. You must first, before you can experience God using you to go tell and to go share the message of Christmas, you have to know the one that Christmas is all about first. You have to know the babe. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand or anything, but how many of you know the babe? I would imagine most of you. But for those of you who do not know Jesus Christ personally, you've heard of him, but you don't know him personally, you might have this question: how? How do I find him? Well, God has made it very, very simple. I want to draw your attention to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're looking at verses 6 through 13 to answer the question, how does one find the babe today? And in Romans chapter 10, verse 6, notice what Paul says. He says, the righteousness of faith, that is, the faith, the true faith that God has revealed through his son Jesus, through the apostles and through the scriptures, the faith that causes an individual to become right with God, that can only be found, taught through the pages of scripture. He says the righteousness of faith, it speaks, it communicates a message. And of course, this is the Christmas message. It's a message that is intended to be shared on Christmas Day and every single day as God gives us opportunity. In verse 8, it says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And listen how simple that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I love how simple God has made for man to become right with him. He's made it simple. It's just a confession. That's all we can do. Just confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we do that by faith, and we put our trust in him. There's no works that we can do to earn our salvation because Jesus himself did all the work. He is so good. Isn't that good news? He said, I come to bring you good news of great joy. And it takes the burden off of us because we can't save ourselves. So some of you, you may be here or you may be listening and somebody's invited you or someone sent you a link. And so you're listening, but you haven't made that commitment to Christ. And there's that fear maybe because you're so aware of yourself. And this is the time where God will challenge you and say, hey, I know everything about you. And I love you. I want to reach you. I want to comfort you. And I want to use you. And the only thing that you could do, because I've done everything else, the only thing that you can do is confess me as your Lord and Savior. Confess me with your mouth. In other words, tell others that I have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, that I have committed my life to him, that he is my Lord and Savior. And the only way, reason that you would do this is because you believe it in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then notice what he says in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the two things, the heart and the mouth, confession. And verse 11 says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 12, for the Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is simple. And this is the message of Christmas. Really, this is what the message of Christmas is that God sent his son to save sinners. to save sinners. But most of us, we've made a commitment to Christ. Most of us have already. And so God is looking for shepherds. He's looking for those that, if you would, through the perspective of being evangelists, he's looking for more of us to share this message, not just today, but every single day of our lives. Now, he might not ask me to share the message every single day, but he may ask me one day. And then if you are available, he may ask you another day, and he may ask you another day, and he may ask you another day. And we, his church, if we are faithful to be those shepherds, imagine how many more people we can reach in a world that needs the Christmas message. The question is will you be a Christmas shepherd? Well, what did they do? We could do these same things. Well, I mentioned earlier they saw. The first thing is that they went and they saw. They witnessed the birth of Christ. Not so much the birth, but that he had come. And in that process, confirmation had taken place within their hearts. They confirmed the word. Look what it says in verse 15 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see the things that has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now, this was, as I said, a personal confirmation. See, God had spoken a word to them and then directed them. And in obedience, they went and they saw, and it was confirmed to them. And the same is true for us. When God speaks to us his word, initially the most important thing, and this happened to all of us who've come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there came that point where we went and we saw. We wanted to make sure that the things that we heard, that other Christmas shepherds, other messengers had told us, we went to the scriptures, because now that's where we find the truth. We went to the scriptures to see whether the things that we heard were true. How many of you have done that? And that's what we've done. That's what the shepherds did. They were looking for that personal confirmation. And the scriptures tell us in Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, his ways is perfect. The Lord, or the word of the Lord, is proven. In other words, you can put the word of God to the test just like they did. They went and they saw. It was confirmed to them. And we could put the word of God to the test because the word of God is perfect and it always proves true. And it will always prove true. So they saw and then they told. Look at verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, these folks, these shepherds that God used, he used some of the lowest people of society. But for God, it's even more of a powerful testimony how God changes people's lives. And he used these shepherds to go out and to share the message. Now, Paul tells us, and you don't have to turn there, in Romans chapter 10, the importance of those and how necessary it is for those to go out and to share this message. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or without a messenger? Or if you want to take it personal, how are the unbeliever, how is the unbeliever going to hear and going to know without you? Without you going and telling, how are they going to hear? And then Paul says this in verse 15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You know, sometimes the reason why people don't receive the message from us as Christians is because the way we present it as bad news, not good news. And yet, it says in the scriptures, we bring glad tidings, or we are to bring glad tidings of what? Good things, not bad things, good things. And why is this so important? Because a lot of times in Christmas, we hear the message of Christmas, which we've heard many times, how Christ came as a baby to save lost men. But that's not the whole message. Christ had a ministry. Christ, he gave his life on the cross, and Christ has instituted his church, and the church is responsible, in every generation, we are responsible to go out and to share the message, just as the shepherds did. And that's my heart's desire, is to encourage us. We're approaching a new year, and we, the world needs the gospel more than ever. And this country needs the gospel more than ever, and Jesus is coming soon. And we need to be available to God, and God is looking for more of us to say, here am I, send me. But we have to make sure that we're sharing the right message. It's a message that brings peace. It's good news, not bad news. It's about many good things that God does in our lives. Think about all the good things that God has done in your life and how God has blessed you. And that's the way we should present the gospel message, the Christmas message, to those that don't know him. Well, they saw, it was confirmed. Then they went out, they told. Of course, they believed. That's what motivated them, because faith is action. And so they went out and they told, they shared the message. But then they worshiped. It tells us in verse 20, then the shepherds returned. Notice, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. See, the Christmas shepherds, they confirmed the message from heaven they received from the angel of the Lord. Then they went out and they shared the message. But then they came back, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And it completed the cycle for them. Now, coming back, glorifying and praising God for the Christmas message we get to share with others is so important, because there is a very unique, especially for you guys who have the gift of evangelism. But if you remember, Paul told Timothy, who didn't have the gift of evangelism, he told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. You don't have to have the gift to do the work. You just have to be available. But there is a very special and unique feeling when you share the message of Christ with someone else. And you know that. There's something very just unique that happens with inside of your being. And it brings such joy within your soul. And so it's so important to glorify God and to thank him for the opportunities, but it's not going to happen if we don't go out as Christmas shepherds. Notice this. It doesn't say that they glorified and praised God for all the responses of the people. You know, if we're looking to the responses of people, most likely we're going to be discouraged. And oftentimes, you know, when we share the Christmas message or the gospel message, we don't see people's responses to the message. A lot of times you share it, and you don't see a response. Some folks might just say thank you and keep on walking. You might hand out a tract and they'll take it, and you don't see any kind of response. A lot of times, we'll also see negative responses when we share the message. But regardless, God works through His Word. We know that God works. Consider yourself. Let me ask you, how many of you, and maybe it has happened, but it's more common that it hasn't, but how many of you responded to the gospel the first time you heard it? Very few, very few. How many of you heard the gospel message over and over and over, and then eventually you responded? That's how it was for me. I heard the gospel message so many different times before I responded. But obviously, the gospel message worked. Here we are, right? Here we are, celebrating the Holy Child of Christmas. See, the shepherds, they didn't focus on responses of the people. You know, they simply focused on the truth and glorified and praised God for it. It tells us in verse 20 again, then the shepherds, they returned. And in a sense, I like to look that returning through this lens, through this perspective, returning back to the house of God, returning back to the place of worship, to being refilled and charged as God's people to go back out and to do the work. But notice, it says they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told them. So they were glorifying God for the truth that they received from the angel, not the responses of the people. That's not what the text tells us. But they confirmed, they saw what the message that God had sent through the angel. They saw, they heard, and that's what was told to them, and that's what they focused on. And as messengers, Christmas messengers, Christmas shepherds, our focus can never be on responses, but it always has to be on the truth. It always has to be on the truth. Now, as we close, we can go in many churches, and I'm not putting churches down. Many churches gather and perhaps just share an encouraging message of what God has done for us, a message we've heard over and over and over again. And we can never, ever tire of what God has done for us, never. But there's so much more that God wants to do through us. And it's a sad thing, because there are so many of us that I believe are not fulfilling the real potential that God has for us, because we're too afraid to go out and to tell others about the message of Christ. For whatever reason, we're too afraid. But God, He is looking for shepherds. He's looking for evangelists. He's looking for those that will go out and share this awesome message that brings hope, that brings peace, that brings joy, that restores lives, that just shares how God forgives those who turn to Him by faith. And so my challenge and my question to you is, will you pray about becoming a Christmas shepherd? That is, would you pray, now that we're closing this year and entering a new year, will you pray, God, use me more? Help me to get over my fears. Help me to confirm Your Word. Help me to know for certain and to really understand Your Word, so that Your Word becomes so a part of who I am, and it's been proven to me in such a way, in a profound way, that I no longer am afraid to go out and share Your Word. Help me, strengthen me, and help me to be faithful to take those opportunities. You know, there is a huge shortage of laborers. Jesus said this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, you don't have to turn there. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his field. That is still a need. And so God is looking for more laborers to go and tell the gospel of Christmas 365 days a year. And one of the greatest gifts that we can give to God today is yourself. The greatest gift you can give is, "Here my Lord, send me. Here my, send me." And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy and grace and sending your son, Jesus, to give his life for us. We celebrate what you did, Lord, but we also know, God, that it doesn't end there. You didn't save us just for our sakes. Of course you did, but there's so much more, and you want to send us out into this world to share the wonderful gospel of Christmas. Help us to be mindful of this more and more as we see the day approaching. Help us to redeem the time and to make the greatest impact for your glory and honor. Help us to become shepherds to share the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.